Let's have a word of prayer and then we'll be done. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day, for life and health and strength. Thank you, Lord, for Edith's diagnosis and the help that's been sent her away, for Steve as well, for Frank's improvements. For each one of us here, for Colin, wherever it is that he might be, Lord, we just ask that you would, for your good hand upon all of us, upon all of our brothers and sisters, wherever they might be, and please deliver our daily bread. Bless this time, Father, we've set aside. Please use it to speak to us, to comfort us, to assure us, Lord. Most importantly, for your will to be done. We love you and praise you. We ask it all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Number 12 in the wee books. I know my name is there.
Thank you. and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto you all the holy brethren. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen.
Remind everybody about the little green, is it green?
Yes.
Little green prayer list. Please make sure you have one. Just a quick update on Steve. He was supposed to be in for a procedure yesterday, but that didn't happen because he had COVID, so they said. And they're putting him off another week until they put in a tiny little tube and try and suck out that piece of cholesterol from his bile duct. Hopefully that will sort him out. I'm not sure if he's in or out of hospital. He was hoping to get out, but if he is on antibiotics, a heavy duty antibiotics, he may not be able to, might not work for him to be at home. Please do pray about that. I would appreciate the prayers from Monica's mom. For Frank, I was going to say for Frank's mouth, but for Frank, because his mouth is part of Frank. Pray for Colin too. Don't forget Will, Pat, Steve, or Pat as well. And I would appreciate your prayers as well, because my back is really, really killing me at the moment. Thought I was doing well. I went and cut grass last night, and picking the basket up off the basket of grass out of the back of the mower for about the 20th time, I think, just did for me. So I would appreciate your prayers there as well. Is there anything we need to add to this?
Just remember Frank flies to London on Saturday morning, but it's on there.
How long have you been at home now?
4 weeks.
But you still remember how to look after yourself? what am I supposed to do when I get up out of bed? Where do my clean clothes come from? All that food, where does it come from?
Mummy, where's your breakfast?
Where's my breakfast, Mum? Can you come over and cook it? I am sure you'll be fine. I bet you there were no complaints from your mum or dad having you home, were there? I'm sure you're glad to have you. Glad to have you. We will be praying for you. It's a funny thing whenever you're little, your mum and dad are doing the best to enable you to be out and live your life on your own, but then whenever you get on up in years, you realize that that's the most important thing is your family. So it's worth looking out for each other. Is there anything else? Are you down for any? Have you any private prayer requests, Lynn? Private prayer requests. Do you have any? Yes, madam, you want to say?
I was just going to suggest that we pray for Christine Ritchie.
Yes.
She just has a lot on her plate and she could use prayer.
Pray for Christine. Pray for Edith. Pray for Norman. Norman spent a busy weekend. Did you finally learn the words to that song?
What?
I'm a lumberjack and I'm a monk.
I'm a sore lumberjack.
I thought you would have just blown in and done it all and said, this is easy, I've been doing this like all month. No? Not without the extra hands anyway. I would have been good to you this time. But that's that. I think that's that. Right, we'll have a wee word of prayer and then we'll sing another song or two and then we'll open our Bibles. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again. Lord, just for everything. Thank you for saving souls. Thank you for not being done with us whenever you are saved. And I pray, Lord, for Ling and Frank, for Norman, for Monica and myself. You know our private prayer requests, Lord. You know Pat's and Steve's as well, for Will's, Christine's, Mary Ann's. For Colin too, whatever it is that he's decided to do. I pray, Lord, for those that have been and gone. For the Hoes, the Curleys, for the Robinsons, for the Edgars, for the Bonners, and for the for all the others that have been and gone now, as many as a year ago. And I pray, Father, even now that you would inspire and strengthen and repurpose, Lord, point them in the right direction. I pray too for Brother Stan, for Brother Bissett, for Brother Seeley, for Brother Asquith and the churches, the people that you have left in their care. I pray, Father, even now, you would help us cut through the nonsense of the world. Keep our eyes off of the weeds and away from the rocks, Lord, and keep them firm and fixed in you. We really do need you, Lord, and I know the days are getting darker and darker. There is certainly a great amount of uncertainty. And I pray, Father, that folks would remember or even come to discover the only thing that doesn't change in this world is you. We love you and praise you. And thank you for loving us, sending your Son to give us life on the cross. Thank you, Lord, for the conviction of the Holy Spirit and saving souls. Lord, you know our private prayer requests. You know all our other prayer requests. I just pray that, please, Lord, you grant these according to your will. But I pray, you, Lord, that you would grant them so that people see that you're still in the miracle or the prayer answering business and that you get the glory. Thank you for loving us. Covet your presence in the services, and we ask all this in the name of your Son Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's take our wee black hymn books again. Hymn number 27 this time. Hymn number 27 in the wee black books is "Nearer My God to Thee." We'll remain seated for this one.
Nearer, my God.
anyone got a suggestion for a hymn? If you don't like 176, I'll take a suggestion. That's not if you don't like 176. Anyone got a suggestion? It's only a wee shorty. It'll make up for Norman keeping me talking outside for 10 minutes. Jesus loves the little children. One verse. That's not a joyful song. Swapping books from the hymn books to the book about him, and we're starting off this evening in Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to title for the message this evening is Let's Pretend. Matthew chapter 7, if you can open it, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, that's really cool. If you can't, then turn to Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 21. And if you can't, just listen. And I hope this will be a help to you. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 21. It's called Let's Pretend. And I know we've spoken this not so very long ago, but I would like to just have a further thought on it whenever I was doing a wee bit of praying and thinking and asking the Lord for notes for a message. Yep, just give me a second, I'll put on my reading glasses, and then we'll be good to go. There we are. Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse number 21. Let's pretend. The word of God says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And he will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I confess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes." Amen. So we quick prayer, and then we'll get cracking. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that we have the entirety of it in our hands, and we can consider it, we can meditate upon it, we can study it, and we can preach it. And thank you for that, Lord. May please be one of our number and open our understanding and help us, Lord, as we consider your word at this time. And wherever your word is being opened, Lord, please bless the reading and the preaching and the memorizing and the studying and the meditating upon and the application of it. Just thank you, Lord. willing. Thank you for loving us, Lord, and pursuing us. We ask it all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Has anybody here not heard the parable of the man that built his house upon the rock and the man that built his house upon the sand? These verses have a few things to say. The first of all is, of course, that just because you are religious does not mean that you're saved and going to heaven. Because the second verse that we read, verse number 22, being now, bear in mind, these are the words of Jesus Christ, who is beyond time and space, who has infinite power and understanding, was quite literally recalling something that happened thousands of years in the future. Whenever in Revelation chapter 20, when it talks about the great white throne of judgment, with all the lost people in the world, all those souls that were about to be cast into the lake of fire, that said, but Lord, we did so much. We went to church. We had ministers. We built churches. We went as missionaries. We even exorcised devils from people. And we gave millions to help the underprivileged. And the surprising thing is that Jesus says, I never knew you. I never knew you. There's another illustration that I remember hearing about many, many years ago. Because, let's be honest, there are a lot of religions in the world today. This little illustration pretty much sums them all up. And it was a picture of two houses. Two houses in which the husbands every day left at 8:30, waved goodbye by their wives. Each one of them handed their husband their case and their packed lunch and waved them goodbye. And you would think, to all intents and purposes, they are exactly the same cookie cutter houses, homes, and people. And you wouldn't be able to tell the difference until you look behind closed doors, until you look under the bonnet, I think a mechanic might say. And in one house, when the husband goes, there is a great relief in the house because the wife is afraid of what her husband will do to her if she does not do just exactly what she's told. And in the other house, there is a great flurry of activity as the wife that loves her husband, once he is away, is able to go and make sure there is food brought in, the children are looked after, the house is clean, maybe his shirts need ironing. She is doing this, she applies herself to doing these things because she loves him, and it's not a chore and it's not an effort to her to do these things. And this is very much the way religion and Christianity work. Christianity, people that love the Lord do things for God because they love the Lord. But people in religion, they do things in order to pay for their sins so that they will get to heaven and say, God, I did this on earth, therefore you owe me. That's literally what's going on here. It's only trusting in Christ that saves your soul. Church attendance, put the money in the plate, giving of yourself to help people, singing like an angel, baptism, having religious parents or feeling religious, all these things don't save. It's just Jesus that saves. Only Jesus saves. Like the Lord said, except a man be born again. Now, there's many people might only know this in eternity because they have listened and been entrenched in their religion for so long, they think that is the only way, and anybody that dares to say different or do different will fall under the mighty hand of whatever particular church it is that they support. And we know this as a fact because we know during the Dark Ages the Roman Catholic Church carried out terrible persecution upon the Christians of the day, of the believers, and there was literally non-stop contention between the Protestant and Catholic Church ever since the Protestant Church came out of the Catholic Church. We know that there is contention. We know also that the Lord said that there will come a day when people will think they're doing God's will even as they kill you. And how many priests and inquisitors and Roman Catholic people and even German people thought that they were doing God's will by handing Jews in. And this is God saying, whenever everything is brought into sharp focus, you know, whenever your life is over and things like your favorite TV program and where you're going to eat no longer matter, then they realize, too late, they were never saved. And nothing that they ever did is going to amount to anything. And the Lord says, I never knew you. I never knew you. And that's a sobering thought. The Lord goes on to say, in the verses that we're going to be particularly looking on, bear in mind, the title for the message this evening is Let's Pretend. And he gives the illustration of the two houses. He says, if you listen to what I say and you make it part of your life, that'll be like a man building a house on a rock. Now, rocks aren't everywhere, especially maybe more so seen in Israel where there's a lot of sand. Then there's a few places that are quite mountainous and have huge lumps of rock. So you have to go to where the rock is to build the house. Good foundation. It's not going to move. Stood for thousands of years, you can build something on. So, generally speaking, if you're building a house, you put your walls up, you put your four walls, your windows, your doors, and your roof on, and you put all your stuff on it. Whether that's things that you've built, whether that's things that you like and you have bought, and people that you love in your house, in your home. And, of course, it will represent a substantial amount of work, a huge investment of your life, and you will then have the, what they call that, invested in, that will be, you will have an ownership of that. Your walls will be square, the windows will be good, the roof will stay where it's supposed to stay, everything will be great. And whenever the storm hits on it, well, it can't undermine the walls because it's built on a solid foundation. It hasn't been able to undermine the rocks that have stood for thousands of years. It's certainly not going to be able to undermine anything that's built on. Nothing shifts, and it can't shift because the foundation stands sure. And that's what God said is a Christian that's listening to God. Now, if we don't do that, Jesus says, this is what you're like. You're like a man with no foundation. In other words, you just build your house anywhere. Oh, we had a great day at the beach. Great view. The waves were great. There was even a bit of a swell, and you could do a bit of surfing. Sunshine, it was beautiful. There was a bit of fishing. Let's just put up a few walls and a roof. And so that's what people do. Wherever it is that they fancy, it's something that appeals to them, they put up their house. I think if they were putting up a house today, they would say, location, location, location. A location that you fancy with a great view. Different today, we're talking about back in the day. Someday it'll rain. And it might rain hard or it might rain easy. And the sand will start to wash away. The wind might blow with it as well, so you'll end up with wee rivers of rain dragging sand away. And it might not demolish the house all at once. But a wall might end up starting to sag because there's nothing underneath of it. And so you might get a crack appear in a wall. You might get a door frame that's no longer square and the door catches, or a window all of a sudden cracks because the wall that the frame is in has shifted. The roof. Holes start to appear in the roof because nothing's square anymore. And we know about that, don't we, Norman? Nothing's square in the church and in the house. And that means that things are going wrong, and you may have time to go in and gather out your belongings. If this has happened over an extended period of time, if it wasn't this country, you would simply dig under a part of the wall at a time and you would lay your foundation. But this is talking about a place with no foundation. But in a big storm, the foundations are washed away, the walls fall down, and everything in it and everyone in it is just caught away by the storm. Everything you ever had is gone, including never your life. Now this obviously hit home with the people. And we all have something in us that needs to be fulfilled. And if you don't have Jesus Christ in your heart, if you have not repented of your sins and made space for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, you're going to have to fill that with something else. And people fill it with all sorts of stuff. But these words were hitting so close to home, hitting home in fact, that the people said, you know what, that quite literally explains how I feel. And they commented that he sounds like he knows what he's talking about. Not like the scribes and the Pharisees. He sounds like he knows what he's talking about. And I would say there's a great amount of conviction of the Holy Spirit going on too. Now for years the pretense that everything is okay in the house built on the sand might be perpetrated. People might very loud and very long say, oh, we've got the best location. It's built down to the beach. Great fishing, great surfing. It's wonderful. And people may do everything. Family, pets, interests, hobbies, friends. And have others right beside them saying, oh, this is wonderful. But they won't fall. When the storms hit, they will fall. There will be incredible loss, and it will be a tragedy. And there will be the awful emptiness of a passing loved one, or even maybe even having to face eternity yourselves. The things that the world preaches will be on you. And no matter how much you pretend, everybody can pretend. And no matter how much you wish, it's not a good thing, trusting in the world. It's a little bit like the transgender movement at the moment. A woman, it's quite interesting, there's not as many women want to be men as men want to be women. Yeah. Because life as a man is much harder than life as a woman. A man can stand and concentrate and screw up his face and clench his fists and tense all the muscles in his body, and he can click his heels together all that he wants, but he can't change one jot about himself. His basic biology says every single cell in his body says he's a man. Likewise for a woman, you can't change it, no matter how much you pretend. You might put on a red dress and you might put on red lipstick, but you're still a man. And it's exactly the same in this life and the next life. Now we know the rock is the Lord Jesus. And we know the sand is the teachings and the things the world offers. And we know that the house is the life that we build, whether it's on top of Christ or whether it's just based upon what the world tells us. And we know that the storms are all of the things that make life a bit difficult for us. Could be tragedies, losses, hardships. Could be betrayals. Could be just outright temptations to go and do wrong things or stupid things. They're the things that everybody faces in life. The fact that the sand washes away during these difficult times shows us what it's like to be a lost person. What it's like not to have Christ as your Savior. It shows us that we have nothing. I remember building sandcastles at the beach when you were little. And you can build them as elaborate. I think there's places, isn't there places in America that they have these wonderful beaches and they do these wonderful sculptures in the sand on the beach. But you can be sure, shooting once the tide comes in, they're all gone. And there are many things that happen, but there's one. Should the rest of those things not touch you, should you have a charmed life, there is one almighty storm that is going to hit every single person, that is going to take everything away from us. And that is when our life draws to a close and we step out of this world and into the next one. We can pretend that drinking is great fun out with our friends. When any doctor will tell you, at least the older ones, any doctor will tell you that your body starts immediately you have alcohol in your body. Your body does its best to burn it out. That's why your liver is often attacked. It is the great blood cleanser. And no matter what the advertising people put on TV, and no matter how much they pretend that everyone is having a wonderful time when they're drinking Smirnoff or Harp or Smithwick or Tia Maria or whatever, it's not. It's not good for you. And it is accounted, isn't it amazing? I think in America, gun deaths are X amount of deaths, and they're wanting to ban guns. But they never say anything about drinking deaths, about the cirrhosis of the liver, the drivers, the people that are driving under the influence of alcohol and hit people. Never mention that and ban alcohol. Alcohol is just making the government far too much money, and guns are making sure control stays out of the hands of the government. People take drugs. Oh, you'll never know what it's like until you take it. I'm going to tell you right now, no matter how much you pretend, drugs are bad for you. No matter what people tell you, drugs are bad for you. Same with smoking. The same with casual physical relationships, this hookup culture that we're seeing so much of and hearing so much. That's bad for you. You might get away with it for a while, but someday you're going to meet a wee boy or a wee girl that will give you something that an injection won't cure. It might shorten your life drastically. And if it doesn't, all the taxpayers are going to be amping up. You'll be living on their dime. You can live your life with violence, lying, cheating, stealing, murder. You can be a rebel to your parents. You can take advantage of other people. You can pretend that all of these things are good lives to live. You can believe that Christianity is just an optional one of many beliefs in the world. You can believe that. And for a while you'll get away with it. You can believe that abortion is, that's an acceptable form of birth control. It's not birth control, it's murder. Likewise, euthanasia. And I am sure that the LGBT movement, or the LGBTQI, whatever letters, what is it now, minor attracted, I think we'll just go for PLGBTQP, for paedophile. You can believe anything you want, and that's your privilege. God said you have a free will. Some of them might seem like good fun, and most of them are acceptable by society. Everyone, in quotes, is doing it. And they'll tell you, sure, everything will work out for the best. And you can tell yourself that when you look in the mirror every morning when you get up to brush your teeth, and every night when you go to bed, you can tell yourself that you're having a wonderful time. And you can spend loads of money trying to make yourself have a wonderful time, and you can gather lots of people around you to try and make yourself feel at home. In other words, if everybody's doing it, then it must be right. You can be completely convinced and completely and absolutely wrong. All you got to do is take a look around and see, for instance, the way people are treated in countries that don't have a Christian heritage. How cheap life is. You don't even have to go to foreign countries. Even look around here. If you look at people that are lost souls, look at souls that have put their faith in something other than God and see the way they behave. You need to go for a whiskey or get canned because they need to forget about their troubles for one night in the week. They need to go and have drugs or thrills in order to blot out the conviction of the Holy Spirit, because God still loves them and loves them until the day they die, and then God's wrath is visited upon for those that reject Jesus. But even now, even in these last of the last days, the power of God is still working in our Christianly based countries, although it's, I think the influence of it is drawn to a close. You can look at what's going on in the world and you can know that the Bible is right. Even if you didn't look into prophecy and you just looked at the example of the lives given over to immorality and to alcohol and to things like that, you would say, well, the Bible's right. One of the favourites is about drink. It says, wine is a mocker and a strong drink is rage. And I think it says a proverb or two later, who has wounds without a cause, who has a redness of the eyes, but they that tarry long at the wine. And you know what? I haven't mentioned it for a while, but there was this wee girl in Burnie that worked in the hotel when I did. And she was, every Thursday night, she'd be planning on Friday and Saturday night, going out and getting bloodied drunk, heading back into the hotel to go to her room. And this one particular night, she was a wee short girl, only about that height there. She had her legs wrapped around a bar stool and she fell off the bar stool. And she bounced straight up again, and she was as good as gold, so she thought. But the next day, her legs were black and blue. She said, where did I get those wounds without a cause? Anyway. I remember a man who lived a very bad life. He made many bad life choices. And eventually it led to him getting the death penalty and to his execution. And you can pretend all that you like, even squeezing your eyes, grinding your teeth, and clenching your fists whenever you're sitting on death row, that you're living in a room service penthouse apartment. You can pretend all you like. You can close your eyes and pretend. But that doesn't make it so. The reality for that man was that he took his position on an end cross. And before his life disappeared, he became aware of his desperate need for a Savior. And he made a decision to trust in Christ as his Savior. Remember what he said? Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He gave up his pretense, and he gave up trying to get away with all the things he'd been getting away. And yes, it was last minute, and it could have gone badly wrong, like it did for the other one. But he threw his lot in with Jesus, and Jesus said, verily, this day you will be with me in paradise. And it's only too late whenever your life's over. But by the same token, I wouldn't want for you to presume upon God's patience and keep on putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. Because I had a very, very reasonable uncle, a very smart guy. And even on his deathbed, whenever we asked him, Richard, do you want to talk about God? Do you want to talk about heaven, your soul? No, no, no. I don't need any of those things. I know what he's doing right now. He's probably squeezing his lungs out and ruining the day that he turned my brother and myself away. It doesn't matter how much you pretend or how earnestly you think something should be so. If it's not real, you're just playing pretend. And pretend is not real. You have a real soul that is going to live forever in a real hell or a real heaven. And the only way that you will ever make sure that the next eternity that you step off into is a good one is when you trust your real soul into the hands of a real Savior, that is Jesus Christ. With your real repentance, your real salvation, and your real trust in Him. There are some things that we can carry on about, and we can pull pranks with, and we can joke about. But you should never, ever joke with your soul. Because that storm, that one storm, that will touch even the most charmed of lives, is coming. And it will take not everything away from you, but you away from everything. And you will find that only your standing with Christ will give you any grace or comfort, purpose, power, and peace at that time. And the lack of it will deliver the opposite to you. Fear, uncertainty, terror. We need to understand, like really up close and personal, that the issues of life, they all happen. And pretending that they don't, or thinking that they're not going to touch you, you're kidding yourself. We're going to have tough times. Why would you not want God on your side as you go through them? You would have to be crazy to say, God, I know you know what's coming round every corner. And I know you have the power to help me overcome anything that comes my way, or deal with it, or wipe my eyes with the tears of loss. I know you send the angels to minister to people. And I know you'll be there in the still small hours of the night to listen to my cries and my tears and my deepest, darkest fears. I know you took on the body of flesh and came to live amongst us for 33 years. I know you gave your life on the cross of Calvary to pay for all my sins. But I don't want that. I want to face the world, the flesh, and the devil all by myself. The Bible says, I think it's in Psalm, was it Psalm 13, Psalm 52? The fool has said in his heart, I don't need God. There is no God. I don't need him. It's all real. The Bible's real. The fulfillment of the prophecy on it is frighteningly real. And if all of those things are coming true, just like the Bible says, just the prophecy, it might be prudent to consider that everything else in the Bible is real too. And stop kidding yourself. Get right with God and stay there. Do your best to stay in his good books. Be a good son or daughter to the King. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. That's a bit of a help to you. I'll have a wee word of prayer. We'll have a song and then we'll be dismissed with a wee word of prayer. Is anybody for him? Put the light for us to close with. Going once. Going twice.
187.
187.
Bring back memories.
187. Jesus, there we go.
There's an order.
187, let's stand as we sing Jesus.
Yeah.
Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us, Lord, for your long-suffering patience towards us. And things are tricky and can be tricky in many different walks of life, but I pray, even now, Father, please take and use all the leaflets, all the words, and all the deeds that have gone out into the world from you and from us, your children, to point folks to the foot of the cross before it's too late. Please save souls. Please use us where you can. Please help us, comfort us, strengthen us, make us bold and wise. Lord, point us in the right direction. Give us a good sense of all. We love you and thank you. Please bless us as we part company. And I pray, Lord, you don't be done with us. We love you and thank you. Amen. Folks, God bless you. Shake hands, except for a little bit.